and through the unknown things of the natural world, it's as though God's Spirit is a candle lighting the way and directing us. And you've got to listen to God's Spirit. It's not hard to hear God's Spirit if you shut down your mind once in a while. But most of us are too busy thinking about what we're going to do and what problem we're going through and how we're going to take care of this situation and how fast we can eat our breakfast and get to work. And we just don't have time sometimes to shut down and listen to God. We found when we have a decision to make or a direction to take, we will either get a check, a red light. We said that if you get a check in your spirit, you don't feel a peace about it. If there's confusion in something that you want to do, let's say you're about to buy a new building. Well, let me go back for a moment. You know, when we got this building, Larry Adams' mother brought us over here and showed us this building. And I said, no way. I don't like this place. It's got no parking. It's not the right size. I was looking at a building up at Harbor and Warner that would seat 5,000 people, and I didn't want this building. And the rent up there was about $25,000 as compared to about $13,000 here. That was several years ago. It's more now. But I said, no, I don't want this building, and I rejected it. But I went to prayer on the whole situation. I said, God, now, I know you're going to open up this other building, so that's the one I'm praying for. And God suddenly stopped me. He says, you don't tell me what to do, Gary. And that isn't the building I want you to have. And I'm closing every door. And God did. He closed every door. And suddenly, I got the most incredible peace on this building. And all I could think about was, I want that building. I visualized. I'd walk through here and visualize the stage and the curtains around the side and the beautiful upholstery and everything on the seats. I mean, I just saw it in my spirit. And I got that green light to go on this building. God has continually in this ministry checked us on things that we shouldn't do and given us a green light on things we should. And this is the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. The week we started the Eagle's Nest ministry, I remember that very week I went to breakfast with another minister by the name of Paul. And Paul suggested, we were trying to figure out how to know if God was really in this. I had a sign business at the time. We wanted to know, is God really in this new venture that we want to start called the Eagle's Nest? We had already found a country club over in Costa Mesa that would let us use their upper room for our services. And we really felt good about that, but we wanted to know, how can we really put it to the test to see if this is really God? So Paul suggested at breakfast that morning that we give to anyone that attended our services a free breakfast. And he said he'd already checked it out. It would be $4 per breakfast. And I said, Paul, wait a minute. If 250 people showed up, that would be over $1,000. And we've never taken an offering over 200 in any of our Bible studies in the homes. And Paul said something. He said, if God's in it, God will provide it. My immediate response was, Paul, that's crazy. The meals, $4 each, we'll never be able to pay the rent. We won't be able to pay the bills. It'll never work. So I went home and I prayed about it, hoping God would agree with me that it was crazy. To my amazement, the Holy Spirit prompted me to go ahead and gave me a peace, that inner witness, that we were to step out by faith and do the most outrageous thing, give a $4 breakfast meal to everybody that came to our early meetings. Let me say something else. I've seen other churches try this. They heard that we did it, and within the next 6 months, I knew of another couple of churches that tried it, and it flopped miraculously. It didn't work for them because God didn't tell them to do it. It only worked for us because God had told us to do it. My head was screaming, you're a fool, you'll be so far in debt in 2 weeks, the ministry's going to go under. But my spirit was saying, ah, yes, do it. And any of you that have heard the story before, the first week we had over 200 and some people show up. And between paying for the meals and the extra rent, it was about $1,200 that we needed. When we took the offering, I was sweating the whole service. After the service, they told me, did you know the offering was about $60 over what we needed? $1,260? I knew it. Hallelujah. And God did that week after week. Through His Word and the witness of His Spirit, God will gently lead us in the right direction. In Psalms 32, verses 8 and 9, God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. You see, God sees the total plan for our lives. We can't see what's ahead, but God knows exactly where he's taking us, and we've got to listen to him because he knows the obstacles. He knows how he's going to get us through. In verse 9, God says, he warns us, be ye not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and a bridle. In other words, we're not like those dumb animals who only respond to what they see and what they feel. They see a lump in the road and they step over it, or they see an obstacle and they go around it. We're not like those dumb animals. We have a spiritual understanding, a guide by the Holy Spirit. And if he tells us to go, even though there's obstacles and walls in the way, he will make a way where there was no way. If we resist God's guidance, verse 10 says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Many Christians, like brute beasts, only act on what they see and feel. They don't wait for the inner witness of God's Spirit. They don't spend time in prayer and waiting on God. I tell you what, why most ministries today fail. They don't listen to God. They run out and do what seems right in their own sight, and it just won't work because God didn't tell them to do it that way. It's beautiful to see a man of God who will spend an hour, 2 hours in God's presence in the morning getting his directives for the day, and then just watch him flow through the day and everything he does, crazy maneuvers, work. God blesses it. Take, for instance, how we always get in trouble by going by just what we see, what looks right. You know, every day you get embarrassed into embarrassing situations by going by what you see. One little woman boarded a crowded bus, and as she got on the bus, one man rose to his feet. She says, no, you must not give up your seat. I insist, sit down, she said. And the man didn't sit down. She says, I said, sit down, and she went and pushed him down in his seat. And she said, you may insist as much as you like, lady, he said, but this is my street where I'm getting off. Of course, we go by what we see, don't we? In number two, God's guidance comes through our conscience. Often called the still small voice, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to our spirit. Now, I'm not talking about just a feeling of peace that gives you a witness to go. I'm talking about a still small voice. When I pray for people like we just did earlier, where I call out healings, I don't hear an audible voice, but I just start getting words in my mind. God says, there's a bladder infection. It's on the right side. And I look over to the far right. He says, no, it's in the second row over. And I'm just listening to these words in my mind. And it's not my words because I'm just sort of turning off. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. And if you listen, he just tells you what's going on. It's the most beautiful thing to simply rest in him. Now, that's still small voice. In Romans 9:1, Paul writes, I say the truth in Christ, and I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit will speak to our inner man, or conscience, telling us right from wrong, morality from immorality, truth from lie. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us, quench not the Spirit. When we refuse to listen to God's Spirit, we're quenching the Spirit. But many Christians refuse to listen to their conscience and end up in deep trouble. In Romans 2, verses 12 through 15, in the Living Bible, it says, for down in their hearts they know right from wrong. God's laws are written within them. Their own conscience accuses them, or sometimes excuses them. And God will punish sin wherever it is found. A man went to steal corn from his neighbor's field one day. He took his little boy with him to keep a lookout so as to give warning in case someone should come along. Before commencing, he looked all around, first one way and then the other. Not seeing any person, he was just about to fill his bag when his son cried out, Father, there is one way you haven't looked yet. The father supposed that someone was coming and asked his son which way he meant. The little boy said, you forgot to look up. The father, conscience-stricken, took his boy by the hand and hurried home without the corn which he had designed to take. Boy, I wish Christians would listen to their conscience. I had a killjoy girl when I was back in the youth group, and I don't even know if I was a nominal Christian. We had a youth group that we'd neck on the bus when we were driving back from youth rallies and so forth. I mean, what do you call that? But this girl, she ruined me one day. She said, Gary, she says, you're starting to take a lot of girls out. And I said, yeah. She said, I just wanted to give you a message from Jesus. I said, yeah. She said, Jesus told me to tell you that he's riding in the back seat. I said, thank you. But if we don't listen to our conscience in the matter of lying and cheating and stealing and sex sins and so forth, before long, the Bible says our conscience becomes dulled and deadened to sin and disobedience. It doesn't warn us anymore. And you can get so deadened that sometimes you just don't listen or hear God's voice anymore. 1 Timothy 4:1 speaks of former Christians departing from the faith because they listened to seducing evil spirits. And verse 2 says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Wrong doesn't seem wrong anymore. They've just refused to listen to God so long that wrong doesn't seem wrong. Samuel Zwemer got this amazing but accurate definition of conscience from an Indian. The Indian said, it is a little three-cornered thing inside of me. When I do wrong, it turns around and hurts me very much. But if I keep on doing wrong, it will turn so much that the corners become worn off and it doesn't hurt me anymore. Interesting. Number three, finally, God's Spirit leads us through circumstances. Divinely appointed circumstances. This could include coincidental events set up by God to guide you from place to place. Did you know that many times if God is trying to lead you somewhere or to do something, he will confirm it out of two or three witnesses. Circumstances will line up. Scriptures, people will give you, brother, I had a scripture for you. Yeah, what is it? Hallelujah! That's exactly what God was telling me to do. You know, you just somehow God knows how to witness to you about it. For instance, the Lord told Elijah to dwell by the brook Cherith, where he said, thou shalt drink of the brook. There he found respite, but the Bible says it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. 1 Kings 17, verses 4 and 7. When the waters ceased, God led Elijah to a widow whose cruse of oil needed no replenishment. And there we have that incident where God filled the cruse and made the meal and multiplied and all of these things. But you see, circumstance led him from place to place. If the brook had never dried up, he would still be back at the brook. Every time something dries up in your ministry or your life, rejoice. God's moving you on. Just say, hey, the cloud's moving again. I better go. You know, when the cloud wasn't there, the ground got real parched, didn't it? Some of the Israelites, can you see some of the not so smart Israelites? Hey, everybody left 2 days ago, and man, I'm getting hot. Hey, look at this. There's no more manna. Hey, there's no more refreshing, no water, no nothing. Well, when everything's dried up, that means God's moved on. And you better find out where he's gone. I try to look for God's leading in everyday events that occur. Proverbs 3, verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If a door of circumstance opens or closes, I look for God's direction in it. I never really get depressed. I try not to. Sometimes my mind tries to, but I almost never get depressed if a door closes because I know that God has supernaturally gotten me ready for another door to open. Some quotes go like this. When God shuts and bolts the door, don't try to get in through the window. How about this one? When a door slams behind you, look for the one God is opening. Too often Christians get discouraged when their plans don't work out, not realizing that he's redirecting their steps. God says, I will guide thee with mine eye. I'd much rather be guided by his eye than mine. Story of a missionary in the Missionary Journal said, Barnabas Shaw reached Cape Town in 1815 with his plans matured to plant there the gospel of the Son of God. But Dutch rule in Africa was hostile to missionary efforts, and he was forbidden to preach the gospel on his chosen field. So in bitter disappointment, he was compelled to turn his steps elsewhere. he bought a yoke of oxen and a cart and put his goods into it. He and his wife seated themselves therein and headed the animal towards the interior of the country. On the 27th day of their journey, when they encamped, they discovered a company of Hottentots halting near them. On entering into communication with these people, they learned that this band of heathen were headed by their chief. They were being headed by their chief, and they were journeying to Cape Town in search of a missionary to teach them the great word of God, as they expressed it. Meeting them just in the nick of time proved such a juncture of providence as had rarely occurred in the history of missions. In other words, a door had closed there in Cape Town, and they thought that God had just, you know, the gospel wasn't going to be preached in Cape Town. And 27 days later, they run into this whole band of people looking for a missionary to tell them about Jesus. If you're in God's divine will, you cannot stray. I want to give you one caution, though. Be careful when you're directed by events, because Satan can set them up too. This is where I see so many Christians tripped up. Take, for instance, oil schemes. Did you know that right now there is so many men, con artists, that working on church congregations all over the United States? Because church people are the most gullible, the most naive. They crutch on faith. Well, bless God, it must be God giving me such an opportunity to get rich in the next week. It must be God. I'll invest in this pyramid scheme. I'll invest my $10,000 in that new oil well. And they come to you and they'll tell you, you know, all the profits are going to go to God. We know that God's going to bless it. And there may be some, I believe some, may really be honest. But I have heard of so many schemes lately of gullible Christians. There's one church I know of right now that over $250,000 in the last 6 months has been drained out of that small congregation of not even 100 people because of that gullibility. It's not God speaking to you. When the opportunity comes, say, God, it looks like a tremendous opportunity, but you're going to have to confirm it to me in some undeniable ways. And I mean have it confirmed and reaffirmed before you know it's God. You know, Satan can line up events and make it look like God's confirming it. Circumstantially, I get much direction by scriptures that keep cropping up. Several people might mention the same one, or I run across it constantly. Many times when I'm pondering a certain message that I want to preach, suddenly people will start just, you know, if I wanted to preach on angels, it's amazing that that week two people are going to come to me with a story on angels. And I'm writing them down because I know God sent them to give me a story. And if somebody tells me about a scripture that God shared with him, I just immediately plug it into the computer and I realize God's confirming to me that he wants me to speak on that particular topic, whether it be angels or whatever. I said a couple weeks ago, I believe, that I was eating dinner at a restaurant and a girl mentioned that she wished that somebody would expound on the rapture. Man, a big green light went off in my head and God said, speak on the rapture. And man, everybody started talking about the rapture to me everywhere I looked. I was getting magazines in the mail about the rapture and everything. That's where that rapture series I just recently did came out of. Finally, I don't believe in opening your Bible at random and letting it fall open and believing that's God's direction for your life. It may work once in a while. And we know all the typical jokes about dropping your Bible open. And I told the one recently about the little lady who was in the airplane and she was terrified and she dropped her Bible open and stuck her finger in and it says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know, we know that it's dangerous to try to get our direction from dropping our Bible open. Finally, God can give direction through visions and dreams and even angel visitations. Some of you have gotten these, but then the Bible also warns, test all spirits whether they be of God. Not every angel is of God. Satan comes as an angel of light. I want to close with an account I picked up in Hawaii. There was a guy by the name of Colton Wickmacre. I can't even say his name. Wickmacre or something. Wickmacre. Colton was his name. And he was an evangelist on his way to Hawaii to preach in First Assembly of God there. And God told him before he left in an audible voice that he would be meeting a divine messenger named Sally Xavier and that Sally would unfold his ministry to him. And that he would meet this Sally Xavier in the next couple of months, and he would meet her supernaturally, and she would be a messenger of God's to tell him about his ministry. Well, he got on this plane, and the plane had just taken off, and he was exhausted from a crusade he had just done. And so he decided he was going to lay down, and he found three seats together, and he was rejoicing he had found three seats, and laid down and was trying to get to sleep, and suddenly a lady comes walking down the aisle of the plane, and she says, "Are you Colton?" And he looks up at her, and he says, "Yes, can I talk to you later? I'm really tired right now." She says, "I must talk to you now, Colton." And suddenly he starts thinking to himself, "I've been waiting for a few months. I've been looking at every meeting I've been at, waiting for this Sally Xavier to come and speak to me about God's plan for my life." And he's sitting there, and suddenly he sits up, and he's wide awake. And this lady sits down next to him, and she starts telling him all about his personal life. And he's thinking to himself, "I wonder if I should offer a piece of gum, because if it's an angel, she won't chew the gum." And she says, without him saying a word, she says, "No, Colton, I would rather not chew any gum." And he thinks to himself, "I didn't even say anything to her. But at least she, that must prove she's an angel." And she says, "Well, Colton, I can chew gum." She's answering his thoughts. She says, "I can chew gum. Give me that gum. I'll chew it while I talk to you." And so she chews the gum to show him that she's, whether she, well, do you know, I believe angels can eat food. If they come as strangers unawares and they're coming to test your hospitality, sure enough, you've got to have fed a few of them. You ever thought about that? So she's chewing her gum, telling him about his ministry, and she warned Colton that many religious church people would be assassinating each other in the character realm in these last days by their words. She said, "Colton, I want to tell you that one thing you're going to see as a sign of the end times is that Christians everywhere will be speaking evil, they will be gossiping about each other, they will be assassinating each other's character. And that you must be careful you do not join these ranks, because God's blessing will be far from those that join in this fault-finding and spirit of criticism. Satan will be subtly working within the church to destroy it, and it's amazing that this is exactly what I'm seeing happening in every church in this area, including the one I just spoke at up in San Ramon. Gossip, fault-finding, bitterness, strife. Satan never changes his tactic. Whoever you have aught against tonight, why don't you just decide, as an act of my will, I'm going to forgive them, I'm going to ask God to bless them, I'm going to speak good about them, and I'm going to turn them over to God. I'm not going to try to criticize and tear them down anymore. Let's get out of Satan's territory. Quit working for him." And Sally warned him that we should not speak evil of one another, but lift each other's hands up. Pray for one another and aid those that we disagree with, and let love reign. She went on and told him many other things about his ministry, but in this case, God sent an angel to literally tell him about his ministry. She told him about a new discipling program that would be instituted in the whole world, where especially leaders would be trained in certain areas, and those leaders would then begin to disciple and train up all the people under them. In other words, instead of going into Africa and having great big mass evangelism crusades where everybody gets saved 10 times a year, and then they just fall away again because there are no great leaders to keep them going, he was told to go into these areas and train up mighty leaders to keep the people serving Jesus Christ, and disciple disciplers, disciple leaders, and train up leaders for this great cause, to go on college campuses and begin to get key people and make them leaders to keep that fire going. Don't just try to get big crusades going where you get a lot of souls saved, but train up key people. And I'm going to start a series in the next couple of weeks on how to disciple. How to be true disciples, not to get into this submission thing where everybody has to get their direction from the man above him, but how to disciple and teach people to be like Jesus and to rise up in their authority and to bring Satan's kingdom down. We're going to do that. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to just finish tonight, Father, by praying for these people. I thank you that there's still a spirit of healing that's passing upon this congregation. I thank you, Father, that people that are in here tonight that have been oppressed, that have come here with heavy anxieties, that have come in here with a spirit spirit of suicide driving them to hurt themselves. We bind those spirits of suicide. We bind these spirits of oppression, these anxiety and depressive. You know, some of you are going through such depression, and if you really examine the circumstances in your life, you'll find out that they're not that horrendous that you should be this depressed. But what happens is the enemy magnifies himself, and he takes a little thing and he blows it way out of proportion. If you just got a good sleep and searched your scriptures in the morning and sought out the Lord, you'd find out that there was nothing to be depressed about, because God is in control. He has everything in his hand, and your life is his. You are hidden in him. You don't have a problem. God has a problem. It says casting all your cares over on him. So quit worrying instead of talking about the problem and talking about anxiety and how you're going to lose and how you can't make it. Start saying, my God is, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can think or ask. I am more than a conqueror. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm a conqueror. I'm blessed going in and blessed coming out. I'm strong. Let the weak say I am strong. Amen? So let's get our mouth in order with God's word. Man, we're going to be conquerors. Let's not listen to the devil's lies anymore. You say, soul, why art thou cast down within me? Oh, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. He is able. Lord Jesus, I praise you right now. Everybody that has any infirmity or depression, or you came in here with suicide, or you came in here feeling you have demons in your mind, I want you to stand up right now. Let's get you free. Stand to your feet right now. Let's get you free in the name of Jesus. It's time that you got free, because you got a work to do. The devil's got you in the dust. He's been, you know, the curse that God put upon the serpent was that he would eat dust the rest of his life. He would wallow on his belly. And the serpent wants to get you in the dust too. He wants to pull you down to his level. You got to be like the eagle and fly in the heavenlies where God is. Let's stand up, those of you Christians. Everybody stand up right now. Lay hands on them. Lay hands on them right now. We're going to rebuke Satan. We're going to release God. You say, how can we release God? God has bound himself to our prayers. He said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Loose me to do great things in my people. Father, we loose you right now in the name of Jesus. We loose your glory upon this people. We loose the baptism of power. We loose the glory. We loose your breaking of yokes right now in the name of Jesus. We command every bitterness, every strife, every anxiety, every depression, every demonic stronghold to be cast down in the name of Jesus. We come against infirmity. We come against strongholds in the name of Jesus. We command every one of them to be bound and cast out in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for the glory right now flowing upon your people. We thank you for the joy unspeakable coming upon them. We thank you, Lord, that their perspective is getting right, that the confusion is broken right now. Confusion, we break your cloud of darkness. We command you to go now in Jesus' name. We release upon these people such a spirit of overcoming, conquering power. We thank you, Lord, that they're going to take their authority. They're not going to be led by the nose anymore. They're going to lead the devil by the nose. They're going to kick that turkey in the shins. They're going to knock him out of their life. They're going to claim their turf, their life, their family. It belongs to God. They're going to tell the devil where to go, and the devil must obey in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. It's done. In Jesus' name, amen.
That concludes this message by Pastor Gary Greenwald. For a complete cassette catalog of other messages by Pastor Gary, please write to the Eagle's Nest, Post Office Box 15000, Santa Ana, California, 92705, or call area code 714-953-1701. Thank you, and God bless you.